You're listening to the Aromatic Wisdom Podcast, episode number 66. Today, we're going to have a quick dive into the fascinating world of essential oil chemotypes. You'll learn what is a chemotype, what essential oils have chemotypes, and more importantly, you'll discover how once you understand what a chemotype is, it can really empower your blending, especially for therapeutic applications.
You're listening to the Aromatic Wisdom Podcast with your host, Liz Fulcher. If you're interested in learning about essential oils, hearing interviews with industry experts, and discovering ways to grow your own aromatherapy business, this is the podcast for you. For more information and show notes, visit the website at aromaticwisdominstitute.com. Now, sit back, relax, take a deep breath, and enjoy as Liz shares a dose of aromatic wisdom.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Aromatic Wisdom Podcast. As you know, I'm your host, Liz Fulcher. I'm here to talk to you, to teach you, to share with you about aromatics, and hopefully give you some insight into the ways that you can use them and enjoy them and benefit from them. As always, I want to start out by saying thank you so much to my patrons. I have three new patrons this week. Welcome to Joanne H., who joins us from Australia, Catherine, and Lynette. And Catherine and Lynette are both graduates of my aromatherapy certification program, and I'm so excited to see them here on Patreon. Thank you. If you'd like to learn more, you can simply go to patreon.com/aromaticwisdom. So today you'll be learning about essential oil chemotypes. And let's start, as we always do, with a definition. An essential oil chemotype is a naturally occurring variation in the chemical composition of the plant that produced that essential oil. So in a nutshell, you've got two plants that look identical. They are what's called morphologically identical, physically the same. They have the same Latin binomial, the same genus and species, but each plant possesses a unique chemical composition. So this will be easier to understand if I give you an example. You have two bottles of thyme essential oil. One is labeled Thymus vulgaris CT Thymol. The other is labeled Thymus vulgaris CT Linalool. The CT literally means chemical type, and it indicates the predominant chemical component of that oil. So your bottle of Thymus vulgaris or thyme, chemotype Thymol, is going to have a really high proportion of the chemical component thymol, which is from the phenol chemical family. And the other bottle of thyme, which is thyme chemotype linalool, will have a very high amount of linalool from the monoterpenol chemical family. If you were to put these plants side by side as in their plant form, they look identical and they're both Thymus vulgaris, but just one has produced a higher amount of one component, the other has produced a higher amount of a different component. So think for a minute. How might that influence the essential oils that you choose to work with? Thymol is a phenol which is very hot and irritating. Now, it's also got tremendous properties that are good for healing and killing bacteria and so forth. The other thyme, which is linalool, is very high in a gentle component. Linalool is good for the skin. So, and that also has, you know, it has other really good properties, but they have very, very different applications. So it's extremely important that you pay attention to the labels when there is a chemotype involved. It is so important that you understand this, and this is why I stress the importance of studying essential oil chemistry. It's very empowering. So why do certain plants even produce chemotypes? Well, you know, Mother Nature, she is full of beautiful mystery. Not all essential oil producing plants produce chemotypes, but those that do, and I'll give you a list here in a minute, not a list, but I'll give you a couple common ones. Those that do produce chemotypes are usually responding to the environment. So factors like the climate, the elevation of where the plant is grown can be a huge factor in the chemotype that's produced. And usually, you know, just other growing conditions. So the plant is responding to the environment. Next, how are the chemotypes and the amount of the components even determined? Well, through GCMS testing. I've talked about GCMS testing in other episodes. I have a whole episode on what that means. I'll put a link in today's show notes. But these two computers, the GC and the MS, can determine exactly the components of the essential oil sample that's put in them and the quantity, the percentage of that component. So all you have to do is go to a website of an essential oil supplier that puts their GCMS reports on their website. Many, many of them do that. And you can actually see how much thymol, for example, or how much linalool is in that sample. Not all suppliers will provide this information. It is, to me, it's the gold standard. It's really what the best essential oil companies now do. However, if you don't see it on their website, you can write to them and ask, do you have a GCMS printout or analysis or report of this batch of essential oil? So I think it's pretty obvious why it's very important to understand chemotypes, but I'll spell it out for you a little bit more in depth. So number one, safety and efficacy. When you understand chemotypes, you're understanding the safety factors that go with an essential oil. You also are understanding the desired therapeutic effects. So if I want, well, let's go with another oil, rosemary chemotype, camphor versus rosemary chemotype verbenone. Chemotype camphor is going to be one that's much more indicated for respiratory system. Chemotype verbenone is more indicated for skin issues. So you've got safety, chemotype camphor. Not everybody should be exposed to camphor. And if you're working with something where the skin is the issue, you really want the best oil for that condition, which might be rosemary verbenone, not rosemary chemotype camphor. Different chemotypes of the same plant can also have varying levels of that component. Again, another reason why you want to know how to read a GCMS report, or at least just see the word camphor and the percentage. Because some components can be harmful if they're not used correctly or if they're used in excess. Knowing the chemotype, understanding the chemistry of the oil, helps you choose the right essential oil for the job, for your therapeutic needs. Another reason why you want to pay attention to having the correct chemotype when there are choices is the chemotype can affect the aroma. Certainly, we know that it affects the therapeutic properties, the therapeutic benefits. But beyond that, it can really make a difference in the fragrance of the oil. So going back to our friend rosemary, the Latin binomial, it's actually Salvia rosmarinus because it's been reclassified as a sage. Most of us, though, still use rosmarinus officinalis as the Latin name. So I'll go with that. So you've got rosmarinus officinalis chemotype camphor. The oil's going to smell like camphor. It's going to have that strong, head-opening, respiratory-supporting kind of smell. And it's strong, and it hits the sinuses stronger than, let's say, than rosmarinus officinalis chemotype verbenone, which is does not have all that camphor, and it has a very much sweeter, softer aroma. So there's that. I always think that therapeutic properties are more important, but the aroma can also be a very important part of the blend, depending on what you're doing, depending on what your objective is. So here are a couple of essential oils that whose plants produce different chemotypes. So I've mentioned rosemary. Rosemary produces three chemotypes: rosmarinus officinalis chemotype camphor, rosmarinus officinalis chemotype 1,8 cineal, rosmarinus officinalis chemotype verbenone. I've also talked about thyme, and thyme produces four different chemotypes. There may even be more, but four are the ones you'll find most commonly. Thymus vulgaris chemotype thymol, thymus vulgaris chemotype linalool, thymus vulgaris chemotype carvacrol, thymus vulgaris chemotype geraniol. We've got our friend basil, Osimum basilicum chemotype linalool, chemotype carvacrol, and chemotype eugenol. Also, I don't see this very often, but I'm going to give a mention also to sage, Salvia officinalis chemotype 1,8 cineal, Salvia officinalis chemotype Fujone. So those are ones just to be on the lookout for. There are more, but those are the ones you'll come across most commonly in when you're working with essential oils. And finally, and this I've kind of already said this, but I'm going to sort of sum it up in a different way. Understanding chemotypes allows for precision in aromatherapy. Again, precision, empowerment. There's no willy-nilly about it. When you are using the chemistry of the essential oils, you are doing everything in your power to create an effective blend, a safe blend, and a blend that's really going to address exactly what it is that you're trying to address. It enables you as a practitioner, or even if you're an enthusiast, a hobbyist, it enables you to choose the right essential oil for a particular purpose. If you're a beginner, this may sound daunting, and just hold the information in your brain, and one day you'll say, oh, I'm ready to use the, you know, to understand chemotypes, or, oh, now I get it. So don't be put off by this conversation. Put it in your, you know, bank of knowledge, and it will eventually make sense, I promise. So, you know, if you're looking for a blend to relax, to boost your mood, to address a health concern, knowing the chemotype will really help you make an informed choice. Okay, onward and upward. If you're new to the podcast, this is the part of the episode where I talk about some way that I've used essential oils recently in a very practical way. And it's a little segment I like to call Smell My Life. I realized as I was preparing this episode that I do talk a lot about using essential oils for cleaning and house things. And I guess that's okay. I do also use it for therapeutic healing, but I do use them a lot. I kind of just throw them around the house quite a lot. And that's what I did recently. So I have a dear friend and neighbor named Jackie that recently moved to England. She and her husband retired and they didn't want to live in Pennsylvania anymore. So off they went to England. They were getting rid of a lot of very nice furniture. Jackie's really good taste. And I purchased from them a really nice dresser that I needed for the spare bedroom. I cleaned it out. It wasn't dirty, but, you know, I kind of cleaned it out and dusted it. And as I always do, I think I mentioned this when we bought our camper, and I've mentioned this in other episodes, I'll often clean something that I buy, whether I buy it brand spanking new or new used, I almost always clean it with essential oils, and I do that for cleaning purposes, antibacterial purposes, but also to kind of imbue it with my energy, to kind of clear off the previous owner's energy and make my own mark. Plus, it makes everything smell really good. And that's what I did. So after I cleaned the inside of the drawers, now I didn't clean the outside of the dresser because it's good wood furniture, but I opened the drawers and I have a picture that I will put in the show notes. I opened the drawers, cleaned, put in peppermint and spike lavender essential oil. So we talked about camphor earlier, and one of the reasons I love spike lavender, which is Lavandula latifolia, is it's very high in the component camphor. And yeah, I love the way it smells because it's got that beautiful lavender aroma with a kick. And I have a lot of it. So I sprinkled it inside the drawer. And then I also took a placemat made of fabric. And I sprinkled that also with lavender, spike lavender. And I put it inside the drawer. So it would just kind of be in there and make everything in there nice, smell good. And I put my jammies in there and I put my socks in there. And of course, those things will also start to absorb the beautiful aroma of spike lavender and a little bit of peppermint. And that's this week's Smell My Life. A shorter episode than usual. I am behind the eight ball, as they say, trying to catch up. It's been a wonderful fall. I went to a Celtic festival with my husband. My husband's into kilts and Celtic culture, so he wore a gorgeous great kilt. I wore a really pretty sort of Irish maiden dress. I'll put a picture of that in the show notes. Okay, if you insist, I'll put that in there as well. And so we've been traveling. Our grandson just had a birthday. So it's been busy, but it's all good. Life is good, and I do get very stressed about not putting out my episodes fast enough. So just know that I'm thinking about you. If you are waiting for an episode, just know that I'm really stressed about it probably because I know I should be getting it out. In any case, those of you that are still listening, those of you that are listening today, I just love you. Thank you very much. It gives me such a great sense of connection. Until next time, my friends, be happy, be well.